We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe. I am Christy Winter Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim. Gabe, courtside, we are ready for college basketball less than a month away. And there have been some media days that we will be discussing and unraveling for you guys today. Mm-hmm. But man, I don't know if anyone is more excited than me. You may be a close second.
Yeah, no, I am excited. What I'm more excited about is that we actually were able to get the start of the show correct for the first time on StreamYard. We're doing the whole, if you guys watch football, that's how they snap the punts. You have some guy like wave his arm and then they go. So that's what we were doing, and it's finally worked out. So thank you for joining us on Courtside. I am very excited about the college season. And if you are very excited about the college season and you want to do stuff like podcast or make videos or take pictures or write about college basketball, I'm going to put this email on the screen. It says join our team at herhoopsnets.com. You guys can hang out with us. In fact, if you want to join us, we've made some great additions in the past year. This shirt of Kelsey Plum at her championship parade.
I need that.
And this lovely energy drink called C4 are both from a new addition to the team, Dana Mattia, who came aboard last year and has been great. So if you want to join us, that'd be awesome too. So that's what we have to do. That was our announcement. So if you're excited, come hang out. But I am excited about the Big Ten, not only because, well, I'm also excited about the ACC. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. But I'm not only excited about the Big Ten because there's the Player of the Year potential there. There's a lot of great teams there, right? But we were in Big Ten country all weekend. It was amazing. So I went to Nebraska, but Christy, tell everyone where you went. I want to hear about it.
Oh boy. Well, initially, wait, personally or professionally or both?
And whatever you want to say.
Okay.
It's on Instagram.
Just like 5 seconds of personal news, but our youngest son, Jordan Scott, he's a 2025 and he took an unofficial to Michigan State. So I went with him to their Spartan things. It was like a Stranger Things twist on it all. It was really, really well done, but it was really fun. So we went to East Lansing on Friday for that and stayed there for the Ohio State Michigan State football game on Saturday. But it was really well done. And it's just really fun to see it through his eyes, you know, the whole process. Mm-hmm. He's a 2025, like I said, a sophomore, but long, lanky guy, 6'5", and in a 15 shoe and still growing, no hair on his face, you know, the whole thing. But just really a lot of fun. Saw Smitty there and Mateen Cleaves and, you know, all the guys, and it was really fun. Jason Richardson. So it was really a fun time, and they were really attentive, answered a lot of his questions about the process and all that. But flew home Sunday, okay?
You came back here?
And then Monday, flew back to D.C. because I was with Jordan. And so, I mean, he's 15 and I'm mom. So we were like, you know, he has to eat. You know, he's still, he's growing.
Sure,
every
sure,
2 hours, sure. Every 2 hours, he's grubbing. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So I came back with him on Sunday. And then on Monday, flew out to Minneapolis for the Big Ten Media Days. And can I tell you, when you see equity, both the men's and mm-hmm. women's teams had their media days together. Okay.
Oh, really?
So on Tuesday, we had seven men's teams, seven women's teams on Tuesday, and then the same thing, seven and seven on Wednesday. And it was just, I mean, it was operated very smoothly. Everyone had about 14 stations to go to, you know, with interviews and meeting the media. We had our studio set up there at the table. So the coaches came by with Mike Hall. We had Megan McEwen there. Sloan Martin was there. And Naz Hillman
made
a broadcasting debut and crushed it. Can I just tell you?
That's not surprising.
Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I, you know, even though I dropped Jordan back off at home, I felt like I was mothering Naz. I had to apologize because I think I was over the top with her a couple times. I was like, Naz, come to lunch. We're in the room. You know, they have lunch with the media. And then she was like, hey, I'll be right back. I was like, where are you going? And then when she came back, I was like, you know what, Naz, I am sorry. I just want to make sure you're good. You know. But she was like, no, it's okay. But I had her a little too tightly under my wing. But she was just outstanding. Yeah.
Not surprising that she's good at that at all.
I mean, debut. No. She just knocked it out of the park. So it was really a lot of fun. But, you know, you always love to see everyone in one place. And, you know, when we call games, it's like we're – in different games at different games. So it's always great to be able to, number one, see all the people that you work with in the media, producers, directors, you know, EPs and all that. That was fun, but to see all the players too, and the coaches, and just reacquaint after the last 2 years of just being disjointed in that way, being in person and not mm-hmm. Zoom and all things, although we're on Zoom now, but I'm not complaining about that. But
we're not technically on Zoom. We're on StreamYard.
Shouts to StreamYard. No, just a little minor.
Not a sponsor.
Minor issue. Yeah, but it was just fun to see everyone, you know, and mm-hmm. to be able to give people hugs and, you know, just listen to the prognosticating about the upcoming season. So it's going to be super exciting in the Big Ten for sure.
No, I'm excited about the Big Ten. So like I said, I was in Nebraska for a wedding. I went to the football stadium, walked around. It's a lovely place. I love Nebraska. I did not have a Runza. I need to go back and have a Runza. So
wait, what's a Runza?
It's like it's been described to me as a meat pie.
Oh.
But it's like a hoagie, like a wrapped hoagie essentially.
Hoagie madness.
It with just meat in it. So it sounds delicious. I would love to have it. We just didn't have a chance to get it in Nebraska. A lovely place, though, and they are one of the teams I want to talk about in the Big Ten, so it was cool to be there for a little bit. Before we came back to ACC country, even though one team is messing that up. But Chrissy, let's get into the actual Big Ten, not just our connections there. Let's get into the actual Big Ten.
Yeah.
Because obviously you spent all weekend talking to the coaches, the players, everyone. You kind of have a good feel of where this conference is at. And last year, it was one of the best conferences in the country, if not the best, as you argued on this very podcast. But, you know, Ohio State wins the regular season. Iowa wins the tournament. Michigan makes it to the Elite Eight, the furthest that any Big Ten team went. A lot of departures in the conference, a lot of entrances into the conference. So what are like some of the big stories that you really were really highlighted this week?
Well, you have to start at the top, and this year it's Iowa. They return 11 players, Gabe, and all five starters.
That's unbelievable.
But they're adding Molly Davis to the mix, and it's very intriguing to me because when you have a player like Molly Davis who can also initiate offense and set the table on the offensive end and be able to score the ball as well. I mean, she's a distributor, but she can also score it at a high clip. I believe she came in averaging 18 points a game, transferred into Iowa. So to play with the Caitlin Clark, and Monica Sinano is coming back for her fifth year. And, you know, you have Kate Martin, who is the glue of that team, and McKenna Warnock, who is just a phenomenal glue player as well when it comes to rebounding and stretching the floor, offensively knocking in threes at a high clip. That's just a dangerous team. And then you have Gabby Williams too, another returning starter. But when you have a player like Molly Davis coming in to this mix. I mean, you have to be excited if you're Lisa Bluter, and, you know, just to hear her talk about the flexibility that and depth that she has this season, I think it's going to be really something to watch for. But with Caitlin Clark leading the country and scoring 27 points a game, 8 assists to lead the country in that category as well, coming in as the preseason player of the year. I mean,
some would say that's good.
I mean, I think that's pretty good. I think it's pretty good. But I did get a chance to speak with Caitlin, which is why, again, I love media days, because you get a chance to have these conversations. But, you know, and this was like in the hallway, you know, just in passing with her. And I asked her, I said, you know, you led the country in scoring and assists, right? You're going into your junior season, and usually you see, you know, some changes in your game between your freshman and sophomore year. You have counters to the moves that teams have scouted you for and whatnot. So she had her sophomore year, came back and did the same blistering thing on the offensive end, tough to stop, added better rebounding to her game. So she was able to get the ball off the glass and push it the other way. You know, this year I said, what possibly could you add to your game? And she said, you know, we just want to have that mentality of being unshakable. And I thought that was really interesting. You know, she's going to come in and, and do the same thing. She's stronger, obviously more experienced. They went out last year in the tournament prior to wanting to go out when they went out. So it's unfinished business. And she said that, you know, being unshakable is going to be their core mantra coming into this season. But I think skill set wise, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what Caitlin Clark looks like with Molly Davis on the floor with her, right? We already know the law firm. We already know what they look like. Monica Sinano.
It's pretty good. Someone said.
They're pretty tough, right? So we already seen that. We know what that looks like. But to add a player with the basketball acumen and, like I said, the ability to initiate offense and spread the wealth, like another player to get that ball popping. I mean, this is an Iowa team who led the conference in assists, over 20 assists a game. So, you know, you put somebody else in there who could facilitate. I don't know. I mean, that's why they're coming in preseason ranked number one in the Big Ten for a reason. Their depth, their experience, all of their returning starters, and then a new offensive piece and weapon in Molly Davis.
Well, and that's, you know, that's exactly what Iowa need, another offensive weapon for the best offense in the country by her HoopStats offensive rating. And, you know, it's funny. I looked it up to make sure that I saw this before, that she is the, she ranks first in Central Michigan history with 17.7 points per game. So they stole programs like best score. So that's incredible stuff for the best offense in the country. My problem with Iowa, and I want to know if you have a beat on this, like, how do they get better on defense? They were 7th in the conference in her HoopStats defensive rating, 99th in the country in her HoopStats defensive rating, which, you know, their defense wasn't like a disaster, but I would say if something's going to hold them back this year, it's definitely going to be on that end of the floor. Did you get a sense of how they've tried to improve that?
Well, I think they did make a jump from the previous year to last season. So I know Lisa Bluter made it up in her mind for the program to get better on the defensive end. She said that's what kept them from advancing the previous year further than the Sweet 16, because she said, you know, we just didn't get the job done on defense. Okay. And they had younger players. Obviously, Caitlin Clark was a freshman that year. But last year, making a jump from kind of the lower area of the Big Ten and their defensive numbers to the middle of the pack, they want to move up again, obviously, in that regard. But I think the way that Iowa plays the game, they get up and down the floor. So the pace of play, they want to get it and go. You know, they've got to get those steals and rebounds to get the ball and go the other way. So I think it's going to be really interesting and intriguing to see what they do. They love to mix things up. You see some triangle and two things. You see some zone things. You see a player to player. That's what Lisa Bluter calls it, player to player, man to man. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how the chemistry on the defensive end. You know, I always say, you know, we always talk about chemistry being offensive, but I think when you have all 5 returning players, chemistry is also on the defensive end.
For sure.
So I think to hear Caitlin Clark say to be unshakable, I mean, that's a grind mentality. That's not an X and O. That's not a scheme. That's not schematic when you talk about the want to and the will to dig down even further on the defensive end. So I think that's what we're going to see with Iowa this year. I think we're going to see that ability to go in depth with the mentality to stop people, right? On a consistent basis. And maybe it's a string of consistency. We need 5 consecutive stops. Let's go and make that a goal after this timeout. Like, I think you're going to see more of that kind of thing with this Iowa team. So I don't think anything schematically is going to change. I think the mentality is going to change for this Iowa team defensively. Like I said, they made that jump from Caitlin Clark's freshman year to her sophomore year as a team. So I think you're going to see another big jump on that side as well. So we know they can score the ball, like you said. They're very efficient on that side. But I think we'll really see what the unshakable mantra means to this team on the defensive end this year.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, having familiarity with terminology and each other and just being more vocal as you get older in college is going to help them. So hopefully they can get to a level. I mean, they don't need to be the best defense in the country because they're already the best offense in the country. Yeah, so they just need to get to a level where they're sustainable on that end. Now the rest of the conference, so the preseason ranking, I forget if this was the coaches or the media, whatever. Things aren't going to matter in about 2 weeks. So obviously Iowa's at the top. Then we have Ohio State, Indiana, Maryland, Michigan. Now we can't go in depth on all those teams yet. We will at some point in the season. Obviously we'll talk a lot about Maryland. We can talk a lot about Maryland now, but I just want to know which one of those teams is kind of most interesting to you, or you think you're keeping your eye on most early in the season.
Well, first of all, you know, like I like to say, all of them, but I will say Ohio State is pretty intriguing to me because last year they did not have Madison Green. She was out with an injury. But then you had J.C. Sheldon take over her duties at the point guard spot. So to have Madison Green back, who led the team in assists the year previous, just under 5 assists a game, set the table for that team. Madison Green didn't get to play with Taylor Mikesell. So I asked Taylor Mikesell, hey, what's that going to be like to play with J.C. Sheldon and Madison Green that can free you up? Because she takes but a blink of an eye to get her threes up and in. Okay, so another player to space the floor with penetration, drawing defenders and getting the ball to Mikesell, but also J.C. Sheldon. They have another initiator. So any coach will tell you, the more players who can handle the ball and make great decisions, the better. Okay. So kids, if you're listening, boys and girls, if you can play multiple positions on the floor, you're going to see more time. So J.C. Sheldon took that point guard position over in the absence of Madison Green, and I think they're better for it. Talked to Kevin McGuff about it. And I said, you know, will we see both of them on the floor at the same time? Or is Madison Green going to rotate back in for JC since JC did so well? And he said, you know what? They're going to play at the same time. You know, they love to push the tempo. Their 2-2-1 press is what it is. Just a juggernaut when it comes to stopping teams and being disruptive. But when it comes to on the offensive end for this team, I think it's really going to be fun to watch how Madison Green gets herself back in the groove. She's full go in practices. I'm still a bit apprehensive here and there, as she should be, you know, coming back. But there are no restrictions for her minute-wise. There are no restrictions for her physically speaking in their practices so far. So you could Kevin McGuff said, you could kind of tell sometimes she gauges how she stops, you know, on sprints and things like that. And it looks different, but other than that, she's pain free. She's, you know, back in the flow, but I think it's going to be really interesting to see her in the mix with J.C. Sheldon, having gained all that invaluable experience at the one spot last year.
No, I think that just makes Ohio State better, right? Like, this team was already awesome last year. They won the regular season crown, as I mentioned. And you know, with adding Green, they should be back right towards the top. I mean, you know, the other teams in the Big Ten, for the most part, had some changes, right? Would you say Ohio State probably had the second? Iowa obviously has the most continuity. Would you say Ohio State has the second most continuity among those top 5 teams?
I would say that and Michigan as well.
Michigan. Well, Michigan lost their star, though. That's a big deal.
That is a big deal. And I spoke to Ken Barnes of Rico about Naz Hillman, the player of the year last year, had a great, phenomenal rookie season with the Atlanta Dream, leading Atlanta in rebounding this year as a rookie, set the rookie record for the Atlanta Dream in the WNBA this season. So she had fantastic experience as a pro. But I think when you're playing Michigan now, if I'm coaching against Michigan, my schemes on defense are going to be different, because when Nas was on the floor, they're trying to congest her. They're trying to take it away. But even with everyone trying their best to do that, she's still awarded player of the year in the conference. So kudos to her for countering the counters of the counter counter. But she did so well. But I think when you have Leah Brown coming back, I think it's going to be interesting to see what they look like on the offensive end and how they flow. I know Ken Burns-Rico said they're going to be a lot smaller this year. Layla Felia had a really fantastic season last year as a freshman, but making a huge jump to her sophomore year, waiting to see that. But I know she's more than ready. But I just think that they're going to be shooting a lot more threes. And Maddie Nolan, a sharpshooter for them, they're going to spread the floor out. So they're going to look different. They're not going to have that post presence. Emily Kaiser is back for another year this year inside.
And so she is back. I remember she flirted with, she flirted with the transfer portal and she was like, okay, I'm coming back.
She's back. So she's in there. So I think it'll, even with her presence in the paint, I think she has the ability to hit the, you know, the dunker spot, the short corner area jumpers, but she can also hit the high post shots and stretch the floor a little bit as well. So I think they're going to look like a five out motion offensive team this year, but they have a lot of returning players with experience. So I think Ohio State, Michigan, and obviously Iowa are the teams that kind of bring back the most continuity in their roster.
Yeah, and then we can talk about Maryland. We'll talk about Maryland some other day. It's unless you want to. We'll talk about Maryland. We'll talk about Maryland later. And, well, maybe we'll talk about them now because I don't. So my next question for you, is give me a player to watch in the Big Ten. Now, obviously, it's probably Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, we're already going to watch her, though. So
we're going to watch her. But someone else, maybe, that you're interested, maybe because not only because they're really good, or maybe because they have a big role to play on the team. Just like, which player are you really excited to watch?
Alexis Markowski.
Yeah.
From Nebraska. Gabe, let me just tell you, I don't know why I kept circling back to Nebraska and how Amy Williams, the head coach there, is like, and I know you were just there. I know you were just there.
Well, I have my Nebraska hat. I had a whole thing on Nebraska, but we could get to Nebraska now.
I see it. Let's do Nebraska. But look, Alexis Markowski, the freshman of the year in the conference, she was a phenom last year, and I don't think we talked about her enough, right? For her to come in and have the consistency as a freshman to stretch the floor, knocking in transition threes, but also playing great on the defensive end as well. Clogging the paint, doing the board work, the grunt work out of the mud. We didn't talk about her enough. And she was a baby. She was a pup. She was a freshman last year. So let's go. Alexis Markowski and Jazz Shelley. I mean, that's going to be a show. We're talking about law firm-esque, okay? That's like, you know, we're talking about great duos in this conference. I mean, I think it's going to be fun. You can add Grace Berger into that mix with Mackenzie Holmes at Indiana. And we can talk about Indiana, too. Not having Allie Patberg on the floor, but Patberg's going to be coaching this year. So I think that's going to be fun. But with Nebraska, I mean, Sam Hybe did injure her ACL. So she is not going to be playing this season. Oh, so they So they will miss her. And that was very recent news for them, unfortunately. And spoke with Amy Williams about that. As you know, she was just getting over her shoulder injury. It took 4 or 5 months to recover from. So she was just getting back in the mix. And then, you know, then the sad injury with the knee. So prayers for
her.
Sam Hybe on that. But with that being said, I spoke with Alexis Markowski and she was saying that, you know, she's added some things to her game in terms of getting the ball quickly in the paint, not putting it on the floor, just making quick pivots and quick baskets and opportunities to the rim in the paint this year is something that she's going to be looking forward to. She's in great condition. She said she wants to up the ante on her defensive effort as well. But I just think just listening to her and the confidence that she was exuding at Media Day was really fun to see. So Alexis Markowski is my dark horse player, and Nebraska, for that matter, is my dark horse team.
That's my sleeper team. We'll talk about them. We'll come back to Nebraska.
Okay.
All roads lead back to Nebraska. Also, I love driving out there. I love out driving like in the Midwest. It's just fantastic. It's all open.
It's very,
very calm. Yeah. No one's honking. I honked accidentally once. I felt so bad. My players to watch in the Big Ten. It's because their transfers who are going to play a really big role in their team. Oh, yeah. And I couldn't pick one. So I got Abby Myers at Maryland coming in from Princeton.
Yes.
And Sarah Scalia at Indiana coming in from Minnesota. Who yes. was the Golden Gophers leading scorer last year. Abby Myers was a star for Princeton last year. Right. And you look at the, you as you mentioned, Indiana does have a lot of players back, but mm-hmm. they are missing a guard presence, and they're hoping that Scalia can do that, right?
Yeah.
And then for Maryland, they're missing almost everyone because this is a brand new team, and Abby Myers figures to be the second or third best player on this team. So I'm really interested to see what they can do and how they fit into these new roles and if they can be as effective as they were at their old schools.
I agree. I mean, I was surprised and Sarah leaving her home state, right?
Right.
And going, but that was something that Terry Moran, the head coach at Indiana, was talking about. And she said, you know, that's a big move when you leave your home state, but she wanted to be a part of an opportunity to be able to play with experienced players. I mean, Grace Berger returns to the lineup for Indiana. I mean, another player with USA basketball experience, three triple doubles to her name in conference mm-hmm. play. I just think that maybe it wasn't in conference play. I think one was not in conference play and the other two were, but anywho, Grace Berger is ready for another fantastic season for Indiana. So I think they have that continuity. I mean, if you think back to last year and in the Big Ten tournament, Mackenzie Holmes was not healthy during that time. And it was really unfortunate, and you can't account for that. And Terry Moran has made it known that, you know, now everybody's healthy. We're ready to go, ready to retool, recalibrate. Allie Padberg still is with the program as a coach. And she's going to have that voice still with this group that she knows very well in terms of chemistry and camaraderie and all of that. So I still think that, you know, even though Allie Padberg isn't playing, I think her impact
should be there. Yeah.
Yeah. The impact is going to be felt. So it's going to be interesting to see what Sarah Scalia is going to look like with this team. Another player who can initiate, obviously, offensively, but I think Grace Berger, she's going to be playing the point guard position this year. So that's some breaking news for the Hoosiers and what that's going to look like. But the versatility has been there. I already said she has the ability to have triple doubles, so that's not going to be outside of her wheelhouse to create plays, but also have the ability to score and board.
No, I think she'll be great at that. And I'm not worried about her being the point guard. It will be interesting though, just to add in a new player to that starting five who has been together so long. And now I do want to talk about Maryland though. Let's talk about Maryland,
okay?
Because Maryland, like I mentioned, I mean, how much this team is returning Diamond Miller, Cheyenne Sellers. How many other big pieces are coming back from last year? And we don't even know yet who's playing at the beginning of the year. Is Diamond coming back at the beginning of the year? Do you know that yet?
She's good. She's ready. Yeah, she's ready to go. She's ready to go.
Good.
Faith Masonis as well is coming back.
Is back
and is ready to go. But I think, I mean, we've seen this across the board, not just at Maryland, but we've seen it across the board with the transfer portal becoming more and more prevalent in every single conference. But I think with Brenda Fries and Maryland, I know that, you know, she's proven herself with being handed puzzle pieces mm-hmm. to be able to put those puzzle pieces together. And they have a grueling non-conference season. We're talking about how competitive the Big Ten is. Okay, let's not forget that Maryland is going to be taking on South Carolina
mm-hmm.
on November 11th. And then...
Is South Carolina good? I don't know. We haven't really talked about them.
From what I've heard, they're pretty nice and have, you know, Dawn Staley at the helm there, returning just about everybody. Mm-hmm. But Aaliyah Boston in the middle, obviously. But yeah, they also play UConn in December, early December. And those are going to be some early tests before they even get into Big Ten play. So I think they have an open practice coming up this weekend. So, really get a chance to get some eyeballs on them if possible. I'm sure, I don't know if they're going to stream it or not, but be on the lookout for that just to see mm-hmm. all the new faces in new places for the Terps. But, you know, when you lose players like Ashley Owusu and Angel Reese in particular, those are the starters. I think it's really going to be a different kind of team. And Brenda Fries kind of alluded to that. And she said, hey, you know what? We play to the strengths of our personnel and mm-hmm. we're going to look a lot different with what we do, not just our personnel, but with what we do with them. So you're going to see a lot more pressing, I think, from this Maryland team. Their defense, they're going to be smaller in size, so they're going to be more swift. But they will be, I think, more connected on the defensive end because of their speed and ability to play small ball this year. And I think across the board in the Big Ten, I think there's going to be a lot more small ball than we've seen in the past.
It's the future. I'm excited for this Maryland team. We're going to see it's a lot of different pieces, a lot of different things going on. But Brenda, as you mentioned, has done this before and has created really good teams, have transfer situations. And Diamond Miller, when she's healthy, is one of the best players in the country. I think Cheyenne Sellers is going to be awesome this year. She was really good in her first year. And then we're going to see how much Abby Myers can really create around those two and supplement the offense. So hopefully she has a big role. I like that storyline for coming over from the Ivy League. Can we do our sleeper team now? Because we have the same sleeper team.
We have the same sleeper team. So you.
It's the Cornhuskers of Nebraska. I love this team. As you mentioned, Jazz Shelley, Alexis Markowski back with a year under their belts. Last year, they were the third best offense in the country, fifth best defense in the conference. I'm sorry, not in the country. Third best offense in the conference, fifth best defense in the conference, fifth in the conference in HHS. And this team is really good. They can take a leap. And so I think they're going to. It'll just be interesting as long as they can stay healthy. Obviously, it's the caveat for all of these teams.
Sure.
I'm sure someone will not be healthy because that's just the fact of life. But, right. But Nebraska can really sneak up on people. And like, I could see them. I think there's a decent chance they're like the second best team in this conference.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, with Nas Hillman being there again, making her media debut at the Big Ten media days, she said, you know what? Yes, they're a sleeper team, but they were never underestimated by anyone in the conference, especially I know a lot of the players, they were asked, where's the toughest place to play? And a lot of them said Nebraska.
Yeah, because it was a 17,000 person stadium. It's huge. Yeah,
it's huge. A lot of them said that. But I thought it was interesting that Nas Hillman said, hey, you know what? They're not a team that's going to surprise you or sneak up on you. Like, we know when we go there or when they come to our place, we got to be on our P's and Q's, okay? Or we're going to get lit up and they're going to score in bunches and we're going to be forced to call these timeouts. They just play incredibly together and connected on the defensive end. And what you were talking about on the offensive side, without Sam Hybee on the floor, maybe a little bit different. But I think with her presence as a leader, I think that'll make up for her impact in that regard. But I just think that they're hungry. They're ready to play. They're ready to work hard, as always. Amy Williams always has them mentally prepared. And I love the fun that she has with them. And that's another thing you get to see, the connections between the players and their coaches. So the 360 room was a blast there. I have to show you mine. I haven't posted it yet. I'm torn between doing it or not, but it was really fun. I mean, all of us had a chance to do it. It was fun, but just to see Amy with the corn thing on her head on the 360 with the kids on the team. And I just thought it was really cute and really fun to see how well connected they are and how they respect each other and trust each other on and off the court.
No, it's a cool thing. It makes me very happy that you said that people thought that's the hardest place to play in the conference, because those people, I don't think I've ever seen a town that loves sports as much as I saw in Lincoln, Nebraska.
And they
won a football game while I was there. I was very happy for them. Good way to go. Unlike the Miami Hurricanes. They have won a football game. Before we get to the conference of Miami and the conference of Maryland, truly, but I'll save that for momentarily. Let's pick a champ here in the Big Ten. We'll pick a regular season champion because the tournament is hard enough to predict when we're in the tournament. So we don't need to do that right now. But give me a regular season champ.
Oof. Hey, you know what? I'm going to go with Iowa just because I have to do it. And that's no shade to any other team. When you're looking at who returns the most players and the addition of Molly Davis, the way they share the basketball, the way they're looking to improve their defense, I have to go with Iowa right now, as many other media members did, because they ranked them number one in the preseason poll in the Big Ten. So I'm going to go along with that as well.
it's really hard to pick against Iowa. As much as I'd like to pick, you know, an Indiana or an Ohio State or, you know, one of those teams that was really good last year, I just think if Iowa's healthy and they have Caitlin Clark and she's going to continue to get better, right?
Yeah.
That's the crazy part. She's going to continue to get better. Yeah. Then I think they should win this conference regular season. But you never know what happens. I mean, the conference regular season is crazy sometimes. So we'll see if Iowa's able to roll through with it there. All right, can we move on to your conference of old, my team's conference, well, my alma mater's conference, the conference that Maryland rightly belongs in and should have never left, their birth conference. I don't understand it. I don't get it. It's fine, but we already talked about Maryland. Let's talk about the ACC. So the last year, obviously one of the best conferences in the country, another one of the really top conferences that had elite teams in it. And those two really elite teams were NC State and Louisville.
Yes.
Louisville gets to the Final Four. NC State gets within a breath of the Final Four in that triple overtime game against UConn. And, you know, for the past 3 years, these teams have dominated. The Wolfpack have won the last three tournaments. They got the double with the regular season and the conference last year.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals have won the conference regular season or a share of the conference regular season title every year for the past 4 years.
Yeah.
So those two teams have been in charge of the conference for all intents and purposes. Yeah. However, we have four starters leaving NC State. Lisa Kunang, Kai Crutchfield, Kayla Jones, Raina Perez. And then we have three starters leaving Louisville. Emily Angsler, Keon Smith, Chelsea Hall. That's a lot of starters to leave a school, especially important starters like they were. And then you look at the teams behind them in the top five of the conference last year, North Carolina, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, all have great continuity. None of those teams have lost more than one starter each.
Right.
So it's looking like the continuity balance has shifted from NC State and Louisville to these other teams. And I think that's going to be the big storyline. Like, can someone dethrone those two teams? Now, do you think, I mean, obviously Louisville has recruited really well, brought in some transfers. NC State recruited really well, brought in some transfers. Snyder Rivers came over from South Carolina. Yes. Louisville got Morgan Jones from FSU. There's transfers all over the conference that we can get into.
Right.
But my question is, how much do you think that continuity edge is going to matter in the regular season?
Well, I think it means a lot, but I think that's why you play those non-conference games, right?
Right.
That's why you have your exhibition games. That's why you've been practicing for the last month and a half. I think when you have new pieces to the puzzle, you don't want to change things for the players who are remaining. Mm-hmm. You want to bring everyone else who is coming in new. They have to rise up and meet the bar that's already the standard and the expectation of the program and the team. So I think when you say that, you want to see the continuity on the defensive end. And that's what I keep talking about. You know, the offense, you're going to come in, you've been shooting the ball since you were 2 years old. I get it. But you understand that. But there's a timing on the defensive end. There are reads that you have to be able to make with your teammates on the defensive end. And that's why I think, you know, when you're being recruited, it's not about, you know, how many points can I get? It's not your 30 points a game or 20 points a game. Like, how are you getting those points? How are you making your team better, not just on the offensive end, but defensively? What are you doing to get stops? How are you reading with your teammates in pick and roll situations? When a screening action gets ghosted, how are you covering that? What are you doing when someone slips? What's your communication ability like? So I think when you're talking about players coming into the fold, those are all the boxes that you need to be looking at to check. And in terms of continuity, I think it's going to be a huge piece. And whichever team comes together the fastest, the quickest on the defensive end is going to show well come conference play time. And I think when you're looking at the ACC, it will be kind of a changing of the guard because of the player turnover with graduation and players going to the WNBA, especially for Louisville. I think it's going to be interesting to see. But, I mean, Jeff Walz gets it. I mean, he knows how to recruit, like you said, but he also knows how to coach those players up. I mean, I sat in their practices because I had that first round or the second round, actually, the second round games in the NCAA tournament in the spring. So I saw the way he methodically operates during practice and how fundamentally sound his teams always are. So yes, continuity is going to be a big piece, but I think it's also going to be the embracing of that philosophy and how quickly the players can adhere to what their expectations are on that side of the ball. And I think that's going to be the biggest deciding factor for who's going to materialize at the top of the ACC.
Well, and to your point, both, you know, NC State, Louisville, two best defensive teams in the country by teams in the conference, yeah, by HHS defensive rating. And then, you know, you got behind them some teams that are bringing back a lot more players, like North Carolina.
Right.
North Carolina is one of those teams I'm really excited about. But I think the team who kind of grabbed the most headlines in the offseason, mm-hmm, was Virginia Tech, right? I mean, we talked about them extensively when they brought in Ashley Owusu. Then they bring in Taylor Soule from Boston College. And that's an All-American caliber player in Owusu and an All-ACC caliber player in Soule, both who are looking to up their, you know, they want to win, obviously, and they also want to get better for the WNBA. And Taylor Soule especially has a chance to do that if she can, you know, learn how to shoot and extend her range a little bit more.
Yeah,
she has an opportunity to do that.
She does.
I, you know, we should have called Debbie Antonelli before we did this, because she has opinions. I was watching the ACC Network during their media day.
Yeah.
And she had opinions. So maybe we'll have Debbie on at some point to talk about the ACC.
We should. And congrats to Debbie. She was inducted into the Hall of Fame recently, and they did a big celebration for her on the desk at the ACC media day. So Deb, love you. Hi. I already tweeted out something earlier today.
We need to bring her on. I want to hear her opinions on Taylor Soule, because I'm really high on her. But those two players rounding out this already really good starting lineup for Virginia Tech that now has more continuity outside of those two players, they've all played together in the last year, and they were really good last year. And then you bring back Kitley, who's an All-American, best ACC player of the year. You bring back Georgia A. Moore, one of Gabe's faves. Absolute favorite point guards in the country. Yes.
Can we hashtag that?
Well, I already use it on my Ball and Order Substack, which you guys should also subscribe to. I haven't been using it in a while. Maybe I'll bring it over. We'll see.
We love it.
We'll see. Someone can pay for the rights. NIL, right?
NIL.
Can we get NIL? NIL. Georgia Amor being there is awesome. Kiana Traylor is another amazing player. And we're going to see Owusu being a little bit of a different role, I think. I think it's going to benefit her. So Virginia Tech, to me, and you know, I'll just say it, I think they're going to win this conference regular season. I think they're really hungry. I think they have a lot of players that are really good and still feel like they have something to prove, right?
Yeah.
And I think if they stay healthy, they can win this conference. I said this last year too, and I was wrong. They did not win the conference, but they were still really good. And I'm going to say it again this year. I think they're going to win the conference. And it's not just because I really, really, really like Kenny Brooks. It's not the only reason. It's a big reason. It's not the only reason, though.
Yeah. Oh, he's a great guy. Kenny Brooks, shout out. How are you? A girl dad. He has three girls. I love that. But I think, you know, when you're talking about Ashley Owusu in particular with Virginia Tech and Kitley on the interior, I think the way that she sees the floor and her size at the point guard position being 6'1", it's a mismatch nightmare. And who knows, like you said, what you said, she may be in a different position. What position other than the one do you see her at?
No, I think she's a two. I think she's a two on this team. And I think she's going to be, she's still going to handle the ball a lot.
Okay.
And I think when if she gets a rebound, she's going to have the green light to go, and she'll have she'll have some people running with her. But I also think she's going to be a two, because Georgia Amor just knows how to run this offense a lot better.
Yeah.
And I think we're actually, hopefully, I don't know how good she is at this, if we can see her coming off more screens and shooting, getting more catch and shoot opportunities, if she wants to be at the next level, she's going to have to do some stuff like that. As a point guard or as a shooting guard, you're going to have to be able to come off screens and hit shots.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see her do a little bit more of that. I think, you know, obviously Kenny Brooks has a million different ways to play this with so much talent, but I think that would be the role that I would probably put her in.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley Owusu downhill is a tough stop. I don't care who. I mean, how are you going to get in front of her, number one? Because she's going to go through you. I mean, she's so strong. And that's what I'm talking about. It's like her size and strength at the one spot or at the initiating offensive player spot. So I guess we're positionless these days. So, I mean, like you said, she can get off the glass, get downhill where she is at her absolute best, whether she's taking it all the way to the rack or committing defenders and diming it off. And I just think that she's going to be able to play at the pace that she wants to. And not that she wasn't able to before now, but I think she's going to be able to play at the pace that she wants to, regardless of whether she's at the one or the two with this Virginia Tech team.
Well, and Georgia Amore can be into a more Katie Benson-ish role. She's a good spot-up shooter, and she can play that role for sure. So I think it's just going to be optionality for them. And I think in those big games, probably not in the non-conference schedule, people don't like to experiment in their non-conference schedule, which I understand. But I think in they're going to go, if they're playing matchups later in the conference schedule, we may see Owusu be more on the ball if she has a favorable matchup. So, we could even see some like really cool small three guard lineups just with Kitley in the middle, you know, even four, just like four pure guards on the outside with Kitley in the middle. I really like Taylor Soule too. So, like I mentioned, I think this team just has so much optionality. It's going to be very useful in the regular season, depending on how much they want to experiment. But, you know, we started this conversation off of continuity. And then we mentioned only the three teams that have the least continuity. Also, we haven't said Haley Van Lith's name. We're just going to say it. Haley Van Lith. She's awesome.
Let's talk about her. Can we talk about her?
Are we going? I want to talk about, I think I'm going to save her for the player to watch thing. Because I do want to just mention the two teams that another two teams I just love. UNC, Notre Dame.
Yes.
I think those two teams, I mean, you look at UNC bringing back everyone, back everyone on that team. And, you know, other than Carly Littlefield for a very, I'll just say it, a dumb decision from the Ivy League to keep her out of college basketball for honestly no apparent reason when every other player in the country had another year to play. That's fine.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. I'm very upset about it, but we have to move on. But North Carolina bringing back a starting five of players that are just really good. They were really good last year. I think they all can take a leap forward. You know, Ava Hodgson, Deja Kelly, Alyssa Utsby, Anya Poole has apparently taken a huge step up in this offseason. And then Kenny Todd Williams is one of my favorite players in the conference. And I think she can take a huge leap forward and be, you know, near the top of the next draft class. So I love North Carolina. And then Olivia Miles could just take over this conference this year. Notre Dame might be the best team in the conference because she could just say, I'm taking it over. They have the Texas transfer, Lauren Ebo, at center.
Yes.
It solidifies their starting five. Sonia Chatrone was the ACC freshman of the year last year. Like, this team could just be the best team in the conference if Olivia Miles is the best player in the conference, and that's a distinct possibility.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you see the shirt you have on, the Plum Dog shirt? I mean, we need the one with Olivia Miles on it doing that because she's just like that, man. She's a flat-out dog. She's a killer. She loves the game, and she loves to make her team better. And those kinds of players, I mean, you can't find a lot of those these days. Everyone's trying to get their own, right? She can get her own, but I think that she has more joy and happiness in the game when she is setting up her teammates, when she is making a fantastic pass to someone and putting it in their sweet spot. All I have to do is catch and shoot it. I mean, I would love to play with her. So Lauren Egbo, she has been really a piece I know they've been anticipating on the interior to go ahead and get the job done. I had a chance to work with her over the summer at that at the Under Armour Elite 24 event. She was at that, and she was just really looking forward to playing there and with her, right? So when you have a dynamic guard like that, all you have to do is run with your hands up, protect the neck, and get the ball and take it up. You know, you're going to get set up.
Yeah, so, you got to keep your head on a swivel, though, because that pass is coming. Somewhere the pass is coming.
Yeah, you know what? Put some goggles on, protect your neck and the hands, get the, you know, get the triangle ready, catch it in the shooter's pocket, and just catch and shoot. I mean, I love Olivia Miles, and I love the possibilities for this Notre Dame team. I think that it's going to be fun to watch how they continue to mature together. And, you know, we're talking about chemistry. I think for them, it's going to be, you know, defensively, like I said, but I want to see offensively what they really come into being as the ACC portion of the season begins in January.
Oh, I'm exciting. So excited for that team. And I'm excited for UNC. I know we kind of got sidetracked with Olivia Miles. Also, Dano says, that he'll make the shirt of Olivia Miles if you ask. So which pick? We'll get with Dano momentarily. We'll get with Dano momentarily. We're gonna need a lot of shirts made this year, buddy. So keep it on speed.
Dano, hook me up. You know.
We need to do the whole crossover with Dice It Up. I was on the Dice It Up the other day, and during the playoffs. So we'll have the crossover, the Brady.
Yeah.
We'll have a Brady Bunch show at some point. Let's do a player to watch, and this player to watch will be Haley Van Lith. As I mentioned with Olivia Miles, there's a possibility that she might be the best player in the conference. Liz Kitley has current claim to best player in the conference.
Yeah.
But I think this year might be the year that we see Haley Van Lith win player of the year and you know, really solidify herself as the top dog in this conference after a performance last year, leading that team to the Final Four. And I think she just found herself a little bit more. Like early in the season, her shooting was really shaky. She didn't really seem to have that confidence. The legs. She didn't seem to be as conditioned as maybe she should. And I think that makes sense coming off the COVID year and then having to get back into it. I think having a real off season this year is going to be really beneficial for her. I think she's going to be coming out of gates hot. And I think she's going to be either the player of the year or finishing in second place, which will make her very upset heading into the postseason.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Haley Van Lith, come on, man. I mean, first of all, listen, she has the Mamba mentality. I mean, she's not going to, Jeff Walls has said, I've had to pull her out of the gym. Like you said, he wants her to save her legs, right? So she's going to be in there. She's going to be taking thousands of shots. You understand? And making thousands of shots too. I mean, she has the work ethic that is unmatched. She will tell you that. And it's not out of cockiness, but it's out of, you know, absoluteness. Like, I put the time in to my game and to my craft. And at the beginning of the season, no, she wasn't shooting the ball well. But guess what? As the season progressed, guess who they counted on as they advanced to the Final Four? Haley Van Lith. Yeah. And who was ready at that juncture of the season? Haley Van Lith. She is a tough as nails player when it comes to being mentally ready for the moments. And she puts the time in the tank, right? You can't ride around on an empty tank of gas. She has a full tank of gas all the time, but it's just a matter of managing when she needs to be off of her feet and getting some good recovery time as well. But I mean, she loves the game that much. She loves the game that much that she'll go into the gym 2, 3, 4 times a day to hone her craft. And you have to respect that. And I love being around people like that, that just continue to give and give to the game that they love. And she's a special player and she's cut differently. She's from a different cloth. I don't care. You say what you want in the comments or whatever. I don't care. This kid can flat out play. This kid
she's
flat out
clearly
dedicated to the game. And some people like to play. I mean, she loves to play. And I love being around people who love the game the way that she does, because it's, you know, not everyone can say that. I mean, you can say it, but it shows and proves when you play the game, if you truly love it or not. And she will go through a wall for you. I mean, that kid is, she's a toughie. I love it.
So I was trying to look for pictures of all the players smiling for the thumbnail. And so I found, Caitlin Clark, super easy to find a picture of her smiling. Okay. Diamond Miller, super easy to find a picture of her smiling. Olivia Miles, just because she's so young, there's not a ton of like photos of her. Yeah. So I couldn't find one of her. And then all of Haley Van Lith's in-game pictures, she's never smiling.
Yeah.
She's just locked in or yelling or doing something to get her team pumped up. Very, very Mamba Kobe-esque. So I agree with you. She's just an incredible basketball player and she's been super, super fun to watch. And I think this year is going to be another year for her, and the team's really good. I mean, I mentioned that they were missing a lot of players, but they bring back a lot of good players. Mikasa Robinson played a lot last year. Morgan Jones coming over from Florida State to fill in that Emily Anxler role. We'll see how much she can do it. Emily Anxler obviously took a big step forward in her time at Louisville. They're hoping for the same for Morgan Jones. Then Liz Dixon and Olivia Cochran come back in that front court. Really good team. They have a bunch of players on the bench who have played for them. So I think they should be really solid, and I think they can win the conference. But, I'll say if who – or I already said it. I'm taking picking Virginia Tech. Maybe it should be different. That being said – Sleeper team. Well, you know me, Christy. Who do you think I'm going to say is my sleeper team in this conference?
I mean, you're going to go with Katie Meyer and the Miami Hurricanes, man.
I am. And I have good reasons. I have good reasons.
Surprising.
Kind of. I would say this regardless of what was happening, but my sleeper team is Miami because they have just an infusion of talent right now. They bring in the Cavender twins. Haley is going to be one of the better point guards in this conference if she can carry over what she did at Fresno State. Destiny Harden last year, after her performance against Louisville, just has so much confidence. I think her at the four, hopefully she can stay. She can play a little bit more of the four this year. Is going to be huge for this team if they want to, you know, really space out the floor, go fast. But they also have a ton of size. Like Lolo Pandante is a really, really good basketball player. They bring in two of the nation of the conference's best recruits. They are the only team. Hold on, let me read it right.
You're right now.
Miami and Duke are the only two teams in the conference with multiple top 35 recruits from this class on their roster. So I think the Canes, you know, it might be a little weird at first. I think they may have some weird non-conference losses because they're going to get used to each other in a very short amount of time.
Right.
But this team is going to be very good, and I believe in Katie Meyer, and they're going to be hot coming off of last year, and I think they're going to be, you know, like, it sneak into that top five.
Yeah, and Katie, you know what? We're sisters from another mister and all that. That is my homie. I love her. I played against her in college and all that. But listen, I agree with you with Miami.
Sure.
But I also am looking at Georgia Tech. And I
think
that they could be another team with Nell Fortner there. They won 21 games last year, as did Miami. So I'm not mad about that.
And we made the ACC tournament finals.
Absolutely.
And we gave South Carolina a run for our money. Everyone skates over that part. But
I didn't skate over it. I was about to say that.
Okay.
Excuse me. And anyway. But yeah, they did. And the thing about Miami, and I agree, because of how they played at the end of the season, you want to be playing your best basketball at the end. And Katie Meyer had them prepared and ready to do what they did in the ACC tournament and get to that championship game and get a great seed into the tournament and really play South Carolina tough for sure. And they had so many close games. I mean, they were 21 and 13, I believe. And then Georgia Tech 21 and 11. So, I mean, two teams that were kind of right in the middle of the pack with the ACC, but really made strong statements throughout the season, had some great wins. But I think with Nell Fortner, she always knows, with her experience as a coach, right? She knows how to prepare her teams well, and she has great continuity with her group in terms of expectations moving through the conference. So I think that's going to be fun. And that's my sleeper team, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, I'm just a little concerned about their defense without Kubai. They relied a lot on her. And they relied a lot on her offensively. But they bring in Cam Swartz from Boston College, who was one of my favorite players in the conference last year. You know, she's a bucket. She has no fear. She's just one of those players who can really get into space and hit shots. And I think that's kind of what Georgia Tech needed. You saw their performance in the ACC tournament, and it was really kind of lackluster offensively, especially when they didn't have Kubai.
Yeah.
And so to come back with some more scoring talent and, you know, some new pieces to, like you're saying, the continuity that Nell Fortner has. I agree. They're on the list, too. I mean, I like this whole conference. Obviously, this is a conference I most pay attention to. So I like a lot of the teams here. But I like Florida State. I mean, they bring in Jasmine Massengill. They were a pretty good team last year. Brooke Wyckoff was actually on Dice It Up last week. She takes over for real this year, and that'll be interesting. Yeah. They also bring in Taylor O'Brien, my girl from Bucknell, in the Pat League, coming on down to Florida State. And then another Pat League ACC arrival is at Wake Forest. Their coach, Megan Jebbia, is actually coming from American to Wake Forest to take over for Jen Hoover. And they have Jewel Spear, and Jewel Spear is a really good player, too. So there's just a lot of teams down ballot. They have a lot of interesting things going on, and I think is going to be a really interesting conference. I didn't even mention Duke. Duke's coach, Kara Lawson, has a ton of great recruits on roster. They're going to put it together someday. It may be this year, and they may sneak into that top five. So just like, that's why I think this conference this year, to me, is the most interesting, because there is that kind of solidified top five, but there's a lot of space for these other teams to get into the mix.
Right. And I really think, I mean, we were talking about other teams getting into the mix and new coaches and new places. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to look at Virginia as well with Amaka Agugwa. She's there. Virginia only won 2 conference games last year. Tough. Only 5 games overall. So this is a team that is looking to make a move. So, I mean, I know we were talking about sleeper teams, and I know I said Georgia Tech, but I'm not counting out Virginia this year with Amaka Agugwa down there and how she's going to change what that program looks like coming into this year. And they also got the Notre Dame transfer.
Yeah, I forget who they got.
No, I that's my girl too. I apologize. Oh my God, that's like my
home. Is it Sam Brunell?
Yes, Sammy. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Sorry, I was trying to think of who left Notre Dame.
Yeah, Sam Brunell. Sorry, Sam. But she's a DMVer, so I know her. So that wasn't, don't blame it on my heart, blame it on the head. It was just, you know, I got to drink a little more coffee. But I think she's going to make a big difference for them as well. I mean, they're going to have a go-to player that can, you know, score at 3 levels. But I also think that Amaka has such good experience. I mean, she was associate head coach at Michigan State for years, and then went on and did some great things at SMU, right? So I think it's going to be fun to watch.
And let's just round it out. Syracuse bringing in Felicia Leggett Jack from Buffalo. Yes. And they're bringing in the second best, maybe the best. I don't know. It depends how you want to define this. Deja Fair is coming over from Buffalo to Syracuse, playing big time college basketball after an amazing career at Buffalo, bringing over some friends onto the team. It is going to be interesting. I don't think Syracuse can be there this year. You need some time to build a culture and all that. But I think they could be really good. And same with Virginia, you know, that 1-year turnarounds happen a lot quicker now, right? I mean, or happen a lot more often. There's more transfers. Yeah. There's different things you can do to kind of immediately make your team better. So Syracuse, Virginia, hoping that happens for them. And then I just love this conference. I love this conference. I'm so excited. I'm hoping to get down to the tournament yet again this year, back in Greensboro. Although did I tell you they're moving the headquarters to Charlotte, or did we talk about this yet?
I don't think we talked about it, but I did see that.
I dislike
it. Moved them. Yeah.
It should be in Greensboro. Greensboro is a lovely town. And they deserve the ACC there. It was sleeper teams. So yeah. We mentioned all of them, all of the potential sleeper teams in this conference. Sorry, okay. Pittsburgh and Clemson, but you guys can prove us wrong. That's fun. Let's see. All right. And then now we're down to the bottom here. Who wins the ACC? I've already said it. I'm going to stick to it because I kind of talked myself into both Notre Dame and North Carolina as we were talking and Louisville. I didn't talk myself into NC State, but I easily could. But I'm going to stick with it. Virginia Tech's winning the regular season and ACC crown. Who are you picking?
Virginia Tech. You said Virginia Tech. Yeah. I mean, I like North Carolina, but I'm going to have to go with Notre Dame.
All right, Notre Dame.
I'm going with Notre Dame with it. I just think that Neil Ivey, I mean, even without Sam Brunell on the floor, I think Olivia Miles is going to be such a star this year, man. And it's going to be hard to keep her contained. I mean, she's going to be a problem. And I'm counting on her. So, yeah, I think Notre Dame wins it because of Olivia Miles taking this huge jump and making a major impact across the conference.
That's fantastic. I mean, that'd be fantastic for them because they haven't won it since Buffett left. So this would be Neil Ivey's first and probably the first of many, considering how good of a coach she is. As an ACC fan, maybe want to hold off on that because I'm okay with not having Notre Dame at the top of the conference every single year if everyone's all right with that. But I think the quarterfinals this year in the ACC tournament, like last year, was awesome.
Yeah.
Last year was unbelievable. We had that Miami game, Miami coming back at the end against Louisville. We have Virginia Tech and North Carolina going to overtime. Those two games are awesome. I think this year is going to be similarly awesome. I think the semifinals are also going to be awesome. And then we're going to get to it's just going to be really great. And I think the Big Ten as well is going to be phenomenal.
It's going to be outstanding, man.
I'm going to put up the email as we sign off here. Join our team at herhoopstats.com. If you want to write for us, talk to us, tell me that I'm wrong. You're more than welcome to. You don't get to tell Christy that she's wrong. Because
no, I was about to say that.
I filter all of Christy's messages. So if you have to come through me first, and I'm not that nice.
Send everything to Gabe. All complaints go to Gabe.
Yes. 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 She actually, our help desk Twitter is at Dano Mataya. You can find Dana will handle all of your problems. Let me make sure I got his. Yeah.
That's right.
At DR Mattia.
Wait, say it again. Give it up.
At DR Mattia. DRMATAYA. I know it's a weird handle for our Kerr Hoopstats help desk, but you can go talk to him. Also, if you see this thing it's scrolling at the bottom, watch everyone. Your courtside, Unplugged, Dice It Up. We're going to be here hopefully 3, maybe 4 podcasts, depending on how much time I have. A week just to talk about college basketball because there's so much hoops to talk about. If you guys have anything you want to talk about, let us know. I think next week we'll be doing other conferences. I don't know yet. We call dibs on a conference now. We're live. They're not. Yeah. So we could. Well, I think we have to give Megan the Big East because she's a UConn person.
Yes. We can do that.
So she can have it. She can have the Big East. But we can do. I don't know. What's left? The Pac-12 and the who am I missing? Oh, the Big 12.
We'll get to it.
Neither conference with 12 teams in it. Sorry, I just get mad about this stuff. Maryland, come back to the ACC. We're just doing that. You know what? We'll go back to just basketball. Forget football. We just won't do it anymore. No more football. Just basketball in the ACC. Okay, I'm done.
Are you good, Gabe? Listen, again, send all your complaints to Gabe Ibrahim.
No, it's the DR Mattia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there it is.
Comment on Dice It Up, which is going to be live at Big East Media Day. So they're going to take the Big East. Make sure you drop any complaints into their comments about us. Right. They'll get it handled. Don't worry. They'll troubleshoot you.
That's right. Hey, listen. Hey, Brianna, my daughter Bree is going to be up at the Big East Media Day. Oh. It's her first media day. So, Dano, take care of my girl. Keep some eyes on her. Make sure she's good.
You got to text her to come on the podcast.
Yeah, you should do that. It's her first one.
I know, you have her number. You're her mom.
Yeah, we got to do that. But, Dano, I'll be emailing you about that t-shirt, too, because that is a nice one. And I will use your email for that. But thank you, guys. Today for joining us another time right here on Courtside with Christy and Gabe on the Her Hoopstats podcast network. Oh my gosh, college basketball is upon us. We can't wait. We know you can't either. Come back for more right here on Her Hoopstats podcast network. For Gabe Ibrahim, I'm Christy Winter Scott. We will see you next time.
Put Maryland back in the ACC. Do it. Do it now.